All right, get ready, because we are diving deep into 2 Samuel 14. This story's got it all: family drama, political maneuvering. King David is grieving the loss of his son Absalom. Absalom is in exile after killing his half-brother Amnon.
It's a really powerful story. Even though it's an ancient text, it tackles these timeless issues like justice and mercy and power. It's like watching someone skillfully navigate really complex relationships.
Oh yeah, for sure. So to quickly set the scene, Absalom had to flee because he killed his half-brother Amnon. And David, even though he's heartbroken, he can't just bring him back. That's where Joab comes in, David's general.
Joab, he realizes he can't just go to David and demand Absalom's return. Yeah. So what does he do? He gets creative.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
He finds this wise woman from the town of Tekoa and basically gives her this made-up story, this parable. And he tells her to go to the king and tell him this parable.
It's like he's playing 4D chess.
Exactly. It's brilliant.
So what's this parable all about? What does she tell the king?
Okay, so she tells the story about two sons. They get into a fight, and one of them accidentally kills the other. Now, the rest of the family, they're furious. They want revenge.
Oh, I bet.
They want to kill the son who survived, even though it was an accident.
That sounds a lot like David's situation. One son dead, the other one banished.
Right. It's a mirror image of David's dilemma, but presented in this veiled, indirect way. It allows David to engage with the issue without feeling like he's being personally attacked or judged.
It's like she's sneaking in this message through the back door.
Exactly.
Does the woman just leave it at that? I mean, the parable is pretty pointed.
Oh, no, she doesn't stop there. She's on a mission. She reminds David that even God, in his justice, makes a way for people to come back from exile.
She's playing the God card.
She is. And it's a smart move. She's basically telling David, look, if God, who's the ultimate judge, can offer a path for return, shouldn't you, a king, also extend that same grace?
Okay, so David's got to be feeling the pressure now.
Absolutely. He realizes he's been expertly maneuvered by Joab and this wise woman, but he's also a wise ruler, and he can't just ignore the parallels.
So what does he do?
He allows Absalom to return to Jerusalem, but, and this is a big but,
oh, I bet there's a cat.
He refuses to see him.
Wow, what a power move. So Absalom is back in town, but still estranged from his father.
Yes, and this sets the stage for even more drama and tension. It's like this unresolved conflict just simmering beneath the surface.
This is getting good. I can't wait to see what happens next.
Me too. This story just keeps getting more and more fascinating.
All right, so we've got all this drama, political maneuvering going on, but what does it all mean for us? You know, we're sitting here thousands of years later. What can we learn from this ancient story about Absalom and King David?
That's the amazing thing about these ancient texts, right? They're not just dusty old stories. They're packed with this timeless wisdom that's still relevant to our lives today.
I'm all ears. Hit me with that ancient wisdom.
Okay, well, first, let's think about Joab's strategy. He knew he couldn't just barge in and demand that David bring Absalom back.
He was pretty clever, I'll give him that.
Right. So he brings in this wise woman, this neutral third party, to present the case.
So it's like mediation.
Exactly. Like a classic example of mediation.
And that's something we can use in our own lives.
Absolutely. Whether it's a family dispute or a conflict at work.
Bringing someone who's not emotionally invested can help, for sure.
They can see the situation more clearly, help everyone communicate better.
It's like having a referee. Someone to keep things fair.
Exactly.
Okay, so we got mediation. What else?
Well, let's talk about forgiveness. David eventually forgives Absalom, even though what Absalom did was terrible.
Yeah, killing your brother is pretty unforgivable, you'd think.
Right, but the story shows us that forgiveness isn't about saying what someone did was okay. It's about letting go of the anger and resentment that we're holding on to.
So it's not for the other person, it's for us.
Exactly. Forgiveness is ultimately about our own healing.
I never thought of it that way.
It's about choosing to move on, to free ourselves from that burden of anger.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
And it's not always easy, of course, but it's essential for our well-being.
So we've got mediation and forgiveness. Any other big takeaways from this story?
Well, there's the issue of timing. Remember, David delayed seeing Absalom for 2 years.
Yeah, and that didn't really end well.
Right. It just made things worse. Absalom felt rejected, ignored. So the story highlights the importance of addressing conflicts sooner rather than later.
Don't just sweep things under the rug and hope they'll go away.
Exactly. The longer we wait, the more resentment builds up.
So what? We should just jump into every little disagreement right away?
Well, no. It's about finding the right balance. We don't want to be conflict avoidant, but we also don't want to be overly reactive.
So pick your battles, but don't let things fester.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
This ancient story is giving us a lot to think about, that's for sure.
It really is. It reminds us that even though it happened thousands of years ago, the challenges of relationships are still the same today.
So we see how this story plays out. But is there more to this than just a family drama?
Absolutely. You know, one thing that strikes me is the different layers of reconciliation in this story.
Different layers, what do you mean?
Well, we see David giving Absalom that legal pardon, but there's this lingering sense that things aren't truly resolved between them.
Right. It's like they've made peace on paper, but not in their hearts.
Exactly. It highlights how reconciliation is more than just saying the words, I forgive you.
So it's not a one-time thing.
No, it's an ongoing process. It takes time.
Yeah.
Compassion, a willingness to really listen and understand each other.
It's like rebuilding trust piece by piece.
Yes, and sometimes that takes a long time, especially when there's been a deep hurt.
So what can we learn from this? How can we apply this to our own lives?
I think it reminds us to be patient with the process of reconciliation. It's not about erasing the past or pretending it didn't happen. It's about acknowledging the hurt, learning from it.
Yeah.
And slowly rebuilding those broken connections.
It's a journey, not a destination.
Exactly.
Well, I think this deep dive into 2 Samuel 14 has given us a lot to think about.
It has. It's amazing how these ancient stories can still speak to us so powerfully today.
Absolutely. They remind us that no matter how much time passes, human nature remains the same. We still face the same challenges in our relationships, the same need for forgiveness, understanding, and reconciliation.
So true.
Well, thank you for joining me on this journey through 2 Samuel 14. I hope our listeners will take these insights to heart as they navigate their own lives and relationships. Remember, conflict is a part of life, but with a little wisdom and compassion, we can turn those challenges into opportunities for growth and deeper connection. Until next time, happy diving.